All right. Now, for those that might be listening that only have 5 minutes to listen to this, what I want us to do really quick is list off our top five tips, and then we'll get into the pod here. So here's my top five. Learn a song, write a song. And I'm going to explain that. Be intentional with your expressive techniques. Master your pentatonic skills. Force yourself to perform and play with others, and less is more. All right, now you go.
Sweat the small stuff. Don't wait for your teacher to assign work. Play with other people. Don't neglect the metronome, and maintain your gear.
All right, Spencer, welcome to the pod, my friend. How are you doing today?
I'm doing really, really well. Almost, I'm doing unbelievable, to be honest with you, Carl.
I'm really glad to hear that. My dad used to say, if I was feeling any better, I'd be sick. And I never really knew what that meant. But
I think it means he's at the X Games.
Maybe he would be intoxicated.
Well, I guess that's one. But I feel like that's like a guy who's about to land a 900. It's like, man, I'm really sick. Well, that's sick. It's like a wakeboarder or something.
Nice. That's the SoCal coming out in you.
You got a cool dad.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Most of the time.
Yeah.
But hey, man, it's great to have you here. You know, we've been fans of you for a long time at Pickup, your Shredjucation Nation Instagram account and social media account. So I'm super stoked. And today we're going to be talking about top five tips from each of us for intermediate guitarists, right? And I don't know what you're going to say. You don't know what I'm going to say, truly. And so we're gonna battle it out here and see, maybe we have the same tips, maybe we have different tips, but I'm really curious to get into it. But I do have a question for you first.
Sure.
Tell us a little bit about your background in teaching guitar, because I think your style of teaching on Instagram is so cool. It's very entertaining and funny, but I think like you're really providing value also.
Thank you, man.
And yeah, I'm a huge fan. So I'm curious, like, what led up to Shredjucation Nation and how did you kind of get going with all of your guitar teaching?
Yeah. Well, first off, thank you for all the kind words. Before we started on here, I was telling Carl what a big fan I am of Pickup. He knows that because I'm grandfathered in at the $1 a month rate, which means I started before Pickup was even an idea.
Wow.
I said, you know, you guys look like you could really teach something. Let me just get in on the ground floor. No, but I've been a subscriber of Pickup myself, and I tell all my students to use Pickup before I met these guys for years and years, way, way back when. But yeah, so I started teaching the guitar at 17 years old. That's a long time ago. I taught just private lessons, and then I would do like rock camps, and then I moved over to like a rock school that I would always refer to as Mondo Burger. Because we were very like, from the movie Good Burger, we were very like, everything was like fancy gear, hand wired amps and custom guitars and like really expensive everything.
Well, that sounds right up your alley.
Yeah, it really is all. Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely like stuff I'm into and everything just like bigger and better. And it was kind of like a school of rock, but it's privately owned. So we could kind of just do our own thing and do really exciting projects. And the concerts there would be like at the House of Blues and Coach House and like 600-700 cap venues. And we would do cool special recording projects where like the kids would record at, Sound City? Like we did a Van Halen One project where they recorded in the same room that Van Halen recorded with, the same mics and amps and all this really cool stuff. I was always kind of working with young students and student bands, but that were really serious about music. That whole time I was always gigging and playing in original bands, also playing in cover bands since I was like a late teenager. So all that stuff was kind of happening together. I would see that like my students would be, I think, most inspired by like coming to shows and seeing their teachers play and be like, I want to do that. That's cool. And that's fun. I would always kind of implement that in my teaching. Like, what's going to get you like on stage and doing what you want to do first, you know, or soonest, rather than like, here's what a book says you should do, or here's what school says you should do. Like, what's going to get you the results that you actually want?
Yeah. So an emphasis on like performing.
Yeah. An emphasis on performing, but really mostly, and it sounds really stupid and this is going to sound stupid, but really an emphasis on results, whatever that might be. I know that that sounds really obvious, but I think long story short, I ended up being the program director of this rock school for 10 years. But when you work with a bunch of other teachers, sometimes you're just not necessarily killing time, but sometimes you're just going through the motions and not necessarily like delivering what a student needs or what a student is looking for. So really just focusing on like, what are our real goals here and how do we get there fastest and in like the most fun way? And a lot of times that is finding out what inspires a student. Yeah. So that's where like what you're saying is like, can we make this entertaining? Can we make this fun? Can we make this like, do I like coming to my lessons?
Yeah.
And it's like, well, hey, I actually like hanging out. I like coming to my rehearsal because I like my friends are here and stuff like that. So that's part of the teaching style. And I always tell students after a little while, it's like, you know, you guys might be nervous coming to a lesson, but you forget, like, I got to hang out with you for an hour, you know, like this might be, you might be nervous coming to meet me, but like for real, dude, I gotta sit in a room with you and I don't know you either. So kind of works both ways. Does that answer your question? I can actually talk forever, Carl.
No, that's great. I mean, it sounds like your approach to teaching is built on, you know, many years of really doing it and sitting in rooms with kids and young adults and maybe adults too. And,
sure.
And you know, just being there with them and being on the journey. And that seems clear in how you approach. But I agree 100%. Like at the end of the day, music is about having fun and connecting with other people, or, you know, maybe not connecting with other people, but that's a nice spin-off of it usually.
Yeah.
So if you're not having fun with it, then probably you're not practicing correctly or you're not doing something right.
Yeah. And I found if a student is not having fun, they're so much less likely to practice. They're so much less likely to hold themselves accountable, to learn their parts for their band or for whatever. And also as a teacher, you know, it's important to say, if your student isn't improving, to be able to look inward and say, okay, what can I do differently that might warrant better results for my student, or make them have a better time, or make it easier on them, or whatever.
That's cool, man. Yeah, I like that. Okay, well, let's get into it now. So why don't you lead us off with your first one?
Yeah. So Sweat the Small Stuff is like, when you're first playing the guitar, you just want to make some noise, right? Your first day of guitar is like, I'm going to put my finger on a fret and I'm going to strum a string and we're going to make some sound. And that can be exciting. Or we're going to play a chord shape. We're going to switch chords. It's like, oh, wow, I'm playing a song now. This is like a new experience. When you're getting to be an intermediate guitar player, it's like, okay, we've checked these boxes off. Now let's make it sound good. Now let's like really make it sound like music. So, okay, am I playing on the tips of my fingers? Am I making sure that extra strings aren't ringing out? Are my strings buzzing? Like, am I pushing down hard enough? Am I muting things? Am I palm muting correctly? Am I picking too hard? Is there a lot of resistance from my pick hitting the strings? All those kind of things, like one at a time, those are maybe small things and maybe they wouldn't make a huge difference in the sound. They could, but when you add all of them up, that's like, whoa, this person sounds like a beginner versus this sounds like an intermediate guitarist, or how far you take these or adding them all together, this sounds like a pro level guitar player. So I think that's a really great thing to start, at least start to be aware of and really start to work on. And the thing that I really like about this is you can implement that on any song that you're playing. It could be a difficult song or something really easy. You could do that on a Ramon song, on a White Stripe song, on Classical Gas. You know, it doesn't matter. It's like, whatever you're playing, let's like work on our fundamentals. Anytime you pick up the guitar is an opportunity to get your technique and your fundamentals better.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That's awesome. I think that kind of lines up with one of mine, which was be intentional with your expressive techniques. And I've talked about this before on the pod, but things like vibrato, slides, hammer-ons, pull-offs tend to kind of be an impulse or just a habit, and it's not very intentional. And so, as particularly vibrato, you know, I can't tell you how many people that submit videos that pick up, they just vibrato every single note, which in some styles, like, that is maybe the move, you know, but a lot of times it's just a nervous habit.
Yeah.
So like being super intentional with that.
And it's like completely unrelated to time.
Yeah.
Or like the song itself. It's just like, I'm on a note, so I'm going to do this. Really.
Yeah. Know? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we could go down a whole rabbit hole with vibrato, but
yeah.
But yeah. And then with slides, hammer-ons, I mean, I consider all that left hand or your fretting hand stuff, like expressive techniques, you know, like how you can kind of be more expressive with your playing. Bends also.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, I agree. But in your sense, you're a little bit like bigger picture with it too. And just sort of checking out, like being, like you said, sweating the small stuff, you know?
Yeah. I think really at first, Actually, it's interesting. This kind of circles back to the first question that you asked about teaching and teaching philosophy at first. When somebody comes through the door and it's like, this is my first day playing guitar, and they put their hands on the guitar and you're like, no, this is all wrong. Don't do it like that. They're gonna leave the lesson saying, man, guitar sucks. This isn't fun at all. I don't want to play anymore. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, my teacher said I couldn't do anything right and I couldn't play anything. And I think I'm bad at this, you know? So it's like for stage one, it's not worth getting into that sort of thing. But once you can play a little bit, then it's like, all right, man, now we're going to like dress it up and we're going to like add a layer of paint to this and make it look, make it sound a little pretty.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Very cool.
So, and same with what you're saying about being able to express yourself. It's the same thing. It's like, we're making it really sound like music rather than just playing a note, you know? I think the equivalent on a different instrument, like on a piano, would be like, can we get our time really good? Can we get our dynamics really good?
Right.
You know, guitar, where we have a different set of expressive options.
Dynamics is a really good one. Yeah. That being intentional with that too, for sure. I mean, it's hard with guitar and dynamics sometimes because we have such a narrow dynamic range compared to like a trumpet or something, you know, like you can control your sound so much easier with a wind instrument than you can with your guitar, you know? And it's like, but you can, it's just like, it takes a little bit, as you said, a little bit more attention to detail. So I just gave you kind of one of mine too. So now we're one for one. So, why don't you toss another one at us?
Yeah. Okay. So this one is, don't wait for your teacher to assign work. And that's assuming you have a teacher. So if I could broaden this to anyone that's without a private teacher or without maybe somebody, even if you're not taking an online course or anything like that, don't limit yourself on what you're learning. This may need a little bit of a qualifier. The biggest difference that I see when a student gets from like to late beginner, as far as my private students and the hundreds of students that I would see come through the school, when they get to like a late beginner or early intermediate, there's like this fork in the road where it's like, is this student going to be a really good musician and take it really seriously? Or are they going to just kind of go through the motions and they'll stick around and they'll play their shows and maybe they'll be good or maybe they'll be, you know, less good, whatever, is whether they look up stuff on their own and they like explore music on their own. And that's like both listening and learning. Like, oh, I went on Ultimate Guitar and I learned this song just because. Doesn't have to be hard. It's just like, yeah, I liked the way this song sounded, so I learned these four chords. And it's like, whoa, I didn't have to tell you that that was homework, you know, or you didn't have to like log on somewhere and somebody on YouTube told you that you were supposed to learn these chords. It was like, no, I just liked the song and I wanted to learn it. And it's like, yeah, dude, that's what it's about.
Yeah.
You know, like that's what everybody I know did because you like think music is cool and you wanted to know how to play it. And then you move on. And maybe you didn't play it great or maybe you didn't learn it exactly, but you're like, you have this curiosity that you like actually want to learn something.
100%.
It's just like a multiplier. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
And I just can't put enough emphasis on like how much that means to a student's growth, especially like at this level, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Right. The intermediate level. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know if we could have planned this better because I think it leads perfectly into my next one, which is learn a song, write a song. And
oh, rad.
So this is like a little bit more of like a songwriting thing, but I think at an intermediate level, a lot of guitarists are probably experimenting with writing songs. And, you know, maybe not all, but the idea is simple. I mean, it's basically like take a song that you really love and then just copy exactly the form, maybe even the chords, or maybe come up with your own chord progression and then come up with your own melody and just use every aspect of it as a blueprint and come up with your own song that way. A lot of people struggle. They're like, oh, I have a chord thing for an idea or I have a chord idea for a song, but I don't really know how to finish it. Well, this is a great way to just finish your song. Your song's already finished. As far as the form and the structure and the highs and lows of it or whatever, you just plug in your own lyrics, your own chords, your own melody, and you know, you're good to go. So to piggyback off of kind of what you were saying, like it's the idea of taking initiative sort of with your journey, right?
100%. Yeah. And you'll find out, you know, you may find out that you love writing songs. And then you may like go way far down that rabbit hole and you may be the world's next most incredible songwriter and whatever. Or you may find out, hey, this really isn't for me. Or maybe you find out I love writing the music to songs, but I want to work with a lyricist. Or maybe I love writing lyrics and I don't really like writing melodies or something like that. But you would never know until you tried that. And a really interesting thing is, like, when you're being creative and you're working in a creative field or medium or whatever, reading a lot of songwriting books, like when I was working on maybe my band's not last album, but the one before that, I was really thinking like, man, I feel like a guitar player. I don't feel like a songwriter. And I still, you know, I don't really feel like I'm that really good at anything except for Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2. That's like one where I'm like, yeah, I will beat you at that. But I'm like, I'll get better at guitar. I'll get better at singing and playing and whatever, but I'm good at Tony Hawk. Anyway, so I was reading like Tunesmith by Jimmy Webb and Songwriters on Songwriting and Andrea Stulp's 10 Steps to Effective Storytelling. That's the one we used for the songwriting class I did at the school and one I recommend to all my students who want to get into lyric writing. And a big thing that comes with all of these songwriting books, those are focused mostly on lyrics, but the same principle applies to writing chords, is like, you have to put yourself in a place where you can't make a mistake. Meaning, whatever you do wrong, don't view it as a mistake. It's just like, you know, you're just going through it. So for your tip, learn a song, write a song. Everybody says, or all my students, and I'm sure your students say this too, well, I don't know how to write a song. It's like, yeah, exactly. Duh. You haven't done it yet.
Right.
Why would you know how to write a song?
Yeah.
Like, I don't, you know. It's like, I don't speak Mandarin. It's like, yeah, duh, you haven't learned it yet. Like, you've never done it. You know, you got to like go do that.
Yeah.
But that's the point, you know, you have to start, and it's fun and rewarding, and everybody's learning and figuring it out. So I'm just saying that as words of encouragement.
And what you were saying made me think of this one because it is adjacent to like learning guitar, but when you're being creative with your guitar and you're exploring in a way, in a like a creative songwriting type of way, and it could be an instrumental piece too. It doesn't have to be like a lyrical song, you know, for that matter. But
sure,
you're approaching the guitar from a creative standpoint rather than like an inspiration standpoint. Like, oh, I want to play like this person. It's like I'm exploring, and that oftentimes leads to, well, it'll open new doors in terms of sonic things, or it might also lead to technique things. And you're like, oh, I can't quite do this idea yet that I had. So I need to then learn the technique.
Yeah.
Which is a really cool like realization sometimes.
That's a totally great point. And also to your point about learning a song and then writing a song, is like you learn a song and then you hear, wow, that's really cool. How can I want to make something that sounds like that. Now I have an idea of what's going on. Like this chord progression, like, you know, a band from Orange County, Young the Giant, they use a lot of major six chords, you know?
Yeah.
It's like,
or my
like,
friend Neil plays tabla with them.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Rad. Yeah. That's just like the first thing that came to mind, is like a band that has a thing that they kind of do, or like, how do I make a chord progression that sounds like Coldplay? It's like, well, they use a lot of like a minor five chord, the early Coldplay, or like,
yeah. We could do a whole pod on just this, I guess.
yeah, for sure. But for somebody new, it's like, oh, I love the way these bands sound. Like, what are they doing? You know, it's like, man, that guitar player from U2, what a cool sound. What's he doing there? And it's like, well, you know, little Timmy, maybe purchase yourself a delay pedal. That's like a really great start. It's like, whoa, dude, you know, but to somebody brand new to an instrument or to like learning and playing music, that's like powerful.
Yeah.
You know, and that's cool. That's like exciting stuff.
Yeah.
So,
okay. What's your next one?
Play with other people. That was the one that we both synced up on entirely.
Yeah.
I mean, pretty self-explanatory, but my explanations about that would be, it's important. it's going to help you with your time. And what I saw from the school, I guess I'll give maybe something that's more specific to me and my history, is when you had like a set list to learn and a band thing to learn, you were held accountable. So I would see students that maybe were less motivated, but because it was like, well, I need to show up on Thursday and I don't want to be the one that doesn't know my stuff, then they would be more motivated to practice. And then it was like, oh, I actually like doing this. This is cool. You know, it was like an extra kind of push to get better, which was cool. And then obviously all the other benefits besides just the fact that it's like fun. And to me, like my favorite thing is to perform live besides like recording and writing and stuff, but I love playing live. And I know a lot of people that that's like they think that's the most fun too. So
it's pretty fun, I guess.
Yeah,
I guess it's okay.
Elliot Smith did not like doing it. So there are some famous musicians that do not like being in front of a crowd, but
yeah, no, I mean, I'll say that playing in a band and like playing the same songs night after night is probably the greatest feeling that you can have when the music's good, you know?
Yeah.
And just like that feeling of kind of like gelling with everybody and you start levitating on stage. It's not from doing drugs, but from music, or maybe a bit of both, but that was previous. That was back in the day. No, just kidding. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, mine was like force yourself to perform and or play with others. So exactly. I mean, all the things that you said, I think the other point that's in there is like, I mean, it's a deadline. It's basically a practice deadline. You're forcing yourself to practice with a goal in mind, and you only have so much time to practice. So it puts an immediacy on everything. And you're just like, okay, I just got to do this. And that's the quickest way to get better, you know?
Yeah. You know, one thing that's coming to mind now, we've been having a bunch of subs play with my band, and there are things lately, because our main drummer is on tour with a guy named Blake Rose. Anyway, cool. There's a lot of things that you can only learn from playing live. Like you can practice your songs, but then there's stuff that happens on stage that will never happen in your room. Like somebody kicking out your power supply, your cable dying, people like extending a section and you having to look to find out when you're supposed to end the song. Those are things like stuff like that, you know, and like intentional listening where everybody is like having to be in tune with each other, like mentally in tune with each other.
Yeah.
That stuff just doesn't happen alone. And you can only get better at that from practicing with people. You can't get better at that alone. Yeah. And that's like so, so important. You could be the greatest player on earth, but if you're trying to get a job playing with other people and you've never played with other people, no one cares. You know what I mean? Like, it just doesn't mean anything. So I think that actually, now that I'm thinking about it, is a really crucial part of that.
And, you know, some people listening might not have access to, or like the, you know, for whatever reason, they might be working full time, or, you know, they're a doctor or something. And there's no like, I'm not going to be out playing gigs, right? Like I have a full-time job. All right.
Sure.
So I guess what I'm getting at is that it's not always about just playing with others. It's also just performing in general, you know? So even if that's performing solo, you're giving yourself that deadline and you're forcing yourself to kind of flow with something that you've been practicing.
Totally.
Okay, cool. So let's see. I think, do you have one more for us or two more?
I have two and a half more.
Two and a half more. Okay.
I can go forever, Carl, dude. I mean, come on, man.
Lay another one on us.
I will do it. This is don't neglect metronome work. And it takes one to know one, because I always neglected metronome work and I shouldn't have done that. I would be a lot better if I didn't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're like, yes, I have heard you play. I would be a lot better.
Back to my own. I'll share my metronome. Revelation, I mean, as well.
Look, when I was a teenager and picking up the guitar and playing, it was way more about just like playing really loud. I had a giant amp and snakeskin boots, and I just wanted to be cool and play guitar really fast. So the metronome was not cool. And now that I want to actually like sound good and make real music, I had the wrong idea. So don't be like me, everyone else. You can be smart and save yourself a lot of time and sound better than me, you know? So please do that. Yeah. And now I'm doing a lot of stuff where I'm doing a lot of like disappearing metronome things where you're trying to still keep time and accenting different beats, like those Corey Wong exercises, which are really great because you hear it a lot in like jazz comping lessons, but they talk so much about everybody wants to learn how to solo, but 90% of the time you're playing rhythm. Why doesn't anybody want to get better at playing rhythm guitar? That's what you're going to be doing in a band. And it's like, oh yeah, that's actually totally true. You need to just sound good playing the guitar. And if your time is not good, nobody wants to play with you and nobody wants to hear you, right? So the metronome is so important. And then you can work on your feel. You can still sound like a human and you can, you know, still be a human. The metronome is just really working on your internal time. The metronome is a guide that you want to kind of internalize. You don't want to be a robot, but we do need to be able to count all together, right? And the goal of that is to be able to play with other people, I would argue.
So let me ask you this. Is a metronome the same as playing with, say, a drum loop?
I would say yes, in my opinion.
Okay.
Yeah. I would say that playing with a drum loop is cool, and it's probably more fun to play with a drum loop. The point of a metronome is just that it's something digital that is, like, you know, digitally locked in time. So it's like perfectly in time. You could maybe get a drum loop that's not exactly in time. I mean, are we talking about like Aiden from Logic, or are we talking about like a drum loop that you had your neighbor record on his
iPhone? Like an Aiden from Logic or any of the sample packs that you can buy now.
Yeah, I think Aiden from Logic is cool.
Yeah.
Or Kyle.
Yeah. I think, like, for most people, like, just jamming with a drum loop is fine. And this is, I would say, almost getting into like an advanced guitarist territory. For an intermediate guitarist, grab a drum loop on Logic or whatever, and you're good to go. That's just as good as practicing with a metronome. But, like, I think the next level is, well, the thing with drums is that it's providing all the subdivisions for you. Whereas if you're playing with a metronome, you have to internalize. And I liked you said internalize rhythm, right? You said something like that. And I agree with that 100%. We talk about that a ton at Pickup. You know, so if you hear a I can easily subdivide it as I'm playing. Could add, you know, like I'm keeping this internal pulse. It's just there. And that kind of comes from having the metronome and doing these little subdivision games with yourself, which you can't get from a drum loops. But that's kind of a more advanced thing, I would say. Would you agree?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. For right now, for an intermediate guitarist, I think just the idea of even playing along with something and staying in time is like, that's cool. Yeah. That's a great start. I think a really good overarching thing above all five of these, and maybe this would be a good thing to save to the end, that I should have thought of, is, like, you know, doing any one of these, whatever you're going to actually do consistently, that's a huge win, you know? Mm. So if
you mean,
like,
of any of these tips that we've been talking about, like, just pick one for like 3 months.
Well, I mean, I hope you do all five, but I'm just saying, like, you know, if you think, well, I'm saying, like, don't neglect the metronome, and yours, like, well, what about a drum loop? You're right. The drum loop is more fun and the drum loop is cooler and they're achieving, you know, relatively the same thing. The metronome, like, especially talking about those jazz lessons, they're like, put a metronome that only plays on 2 and 4. So it's like,
right,
2, 3, 4, 2, 3, 4. So you're filling in all those subdivisions internally, right? So you're not like relying on a metronome to keep you like fully gridded. But my point is, if you are a student or you're a guitar player who's just like, man, playing to a metronome is really boring, I hate this, but you're like, playing to a drum loop is fun, I like this, then do the drum loop. Like, it's way better to do one than nothing.
I see what you're saying.
That's my point. Yeah.
I agree.
And like, if you're like for any of these things, you know, really like we're all human. So it's like, if you really don't like doing something, or if it's boring to you, or if you find one inspiring and you like actually enjoy it, just follow that path. And then maybe at a later date, when you're ready to do more of the vegetable eating version of it, then great. That's awesome. But it's going to be better, you know, like the all or nothing approach of like a crash diet style of practice or something. Mm-hmm. Something that you like won't sustain is foolish, you know. You're not gonna like really change your playing that way. That's all I wanted to say before you go on with the metronome stuff.
I mean, again, this is like a whole deep topic. We could spend the whole pod talking about metronome practice, but I mentioned my metronome revelation. Like, I was in college, probably like 18 or 19, and a piano player friend of mine, he was practicing with the metronome on 2 and 4. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2. And I couldn't do it. Like, I couldn't really like play lines and keep time. You know, and feel that like jazz pulse. And I was like, oh my God. Cause I could do it if it was like on all four beats, you know, and I could kind of sound jazzy or whatever, but I couldn't keep that pulse. And to have that realization when you're like 18 or 19, I was like, oh my God, you know, like I felt embarrassed.
That's pretty powerful that you noticed though.
Well, yeah, because he was doing it right in front of me and he was like, oh, you can't do that.
Oh, well.
I mean, so it was
maybe
him.
Mean.
Yeah, yeah. Shout out Dan Martinez. still one of my best friends. He lives here in LA. He's a great composer.
Oh, right.
Keeping
it real.
Yeah, yeah. But anyways, yeah, man. So there's a lot of stuff, but your point of like playing with that metronome on different beats and stuff is really good and super powerful practice tool.
Cool.
So let's move on from metronome chat. Maybe we've lost half our listeners by now.
Well, I think they're just listening to a metronome now.
Yeah. No.
Instead, they've been so enthralled with this. What am I doing wasting time listening to these guys talk? I could be listening to a click instead. You know, it's more interesting. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. I'll go with one here because I know we're kind of on the same page with this. And it's master your pentatonic scales. All right.
Great.
I mean, everybody says it, you know, you got to know your pentatonic scales. And of course, everybody learns that like classic box. But I think like learning them inside and out, all positions, every which way is just, it's going to allow you the most musical freedom as a guitar player in 90% of like what modern music, pop music, rock, jazz, whatever, like it's going to give you that freedom to be able to solo and play melodic ideas, you know? And then there's also the 3-2 system, which you just dropped your new course with us here at Pickup. So talk to us a little bit about the 3-2.
Yes. Huge. So mastering music can now be distilled to one simple formula. It's 3+2. I'm super stoked. Thank you guys again so much for having me. I love this course and I love this concept. So to what you said, Carl, everybody's first scale that they learn on a guitar is a minor pentatonic scale. And probably most people listening will know and agree with that. So there's a couple of things that I really like about this 3-2 system. First off, what it is it is a simple and ergonomic and like easy to play system of playing a major pentatonic scale.
Totally.
Right off the bat, most people don't know a major scale like on a guitar. They don't have like a good simple fingering for a major scale, let alone a major pentatonic scale, unless you've taken the country pathway or you know, you just love playing major pentatonic scales. But it's kind of an awkward fingering on guitar. Most people learn a minor pentatonic scale and they want to just use that forever. And I don't really blame them because you can get away with it. And a lot of our guitar heroes do get away with it. But the 3-2 system is like a really nice way to organize the fretboard to play all the notes that we need in our pentatonic scale, both for major. And then we flip it to 2-3 for minor. And it's easy to memorize. It's easy to move around and slide and get these like expressive things. And I want to go back to something you said about learning our box pattern and learning all of these shapes, our 5 pentatonic boxes. So I'm going to embarrass myself on this podcast because it's probably my favorite thing to do on the internet. I took a lesson with Ray, Guitar Magic Ray, if you know the guy who plays, for those of you out there, I know I've brought him up to Carl before, but the guy who does Cliffs of Dover in every key on the Hello Kitty guitar. Yeah, so I took a lesson with him and his whole thing is Eric Johnson stuff. And he's like so amazing at guitar and he does these crazy Eric Johnson inspired pentatonic things. And so I've taken a few lessons with him and he's like, yeah, you know, so you'll move up to this position of your pentatonic box. And I'm like, yeah, cool, man. Yeah. I'll just move up there. And then he's like, yeah. And it goes to
all
this.
Your pentatonic boxes. Yeah. Is that what you're revealing to us?
So after my first lesson with him, and I was joking. So I was like, yeah, man. So if I was going to like show this to a student, what would be like a good resource to like show somebody to like learn all the shapes of their pentatonic boxes? And he's like, oh, well, you could show them like this and this, blah, blah, blah. He's like, if they were like a real beginner, and I'm like, what if it was somebody who's like been playing guitar for a long time, you know? It's like, I'm like, what if it was like me or whatever, you know? And he like kind of laughed and I'm like, nah, for real, dude. I just like never learned this. Like, I just know a minor scale up and down the neck. I never learned like pentatonic boxes. It just seemed like, I don't know. To me, it always just felt like impractical. I just know all the notes. Who cares? You know, but whatever. I was wrong. And I've been wrong twice in my life. And this is half of them, was this one time. So after this first lesson, I learned all my minor pentatonic boxes. And
did you do that in the late intermediate learning pathway by any chance?
I checked. I did. Yeah, I did. And that's why, well, they can't see the video, but that's why once I learned it from Carl, I had to get this Tele guitar just like Carl. I spent a lot of money to be like Carl. And that's a great place to learn it. But I didn't know until then. I didn't know positions 4 and 5. Right. And to be honest with you, so like you said, knowing all your positions of the pentatonic boxes is a great way to unlock fretboard freedom, which is true. But for an intermediate guitarist, and especially an early intermediate guitarist, to be totally honest with you, I feel like those fingerings are difficult and impractical. Like playing the low E and the A string and maybe even the D string of those like extra boxes. I know we're getting like really in the weeds on this stuff. Like, I wouldn't expect, you know, a new guitar player to like have those memorized and really like utilize them in the middle of a solo. It's just
totally.
All the positions is like definitely more of a, well, that's why it's in the late intermediate pathway. Cause it's definitely a more advanced thing, but the 3-2 system is sort of like the hack that gets you. It's like all the stuff you need from the pentatonics. And
yes.
It's so ergonomic that it's like magic.
100%. Thank you for getting me to the finish line where I was headed much faster than I was going to get there.
No,
you're totally right. So that's my point, is like the 3-2 lets you play all the way across the neck using those notes, but you don't have to like play these kind of uncomfortable shapes, like going from your middle finger to your pinky, you know, just using fingerings that you're probably not used to yet and that you will eventually learn. But it's just like at this level, like I said, I just think it's a little impractical, and you can get started making music earlier than what this would require of you.
Totally.
So that is one reason why I really like the 3-2 system. And also, you know, seeing joy in my students, I've got so many messages after lessons with my students that were like, dude, I really like this 3-2 system. I sound like I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Like, I really am soloing and this is awesome. Like, I can't wait to use this more, which I'm really stoked about. And it's not like, oh, I have to learn a bunch of notes. It's like, whoa, I'm making solos, which is cool. That's great. It's, you know, we call it a hack and we say it's, you know, this secret sauce, but it's like Space Jam with Michael Jordan's secret drink. It's really just water. You know, the special sauce is inside you all along. These are the notes of the pentatonic scale. Yeah. It's really no secret. They're just laid out in a convenient way for you, you know?
Right. Right.
So, it's an infographic, you guys, you know?
And so this new course, I know you've seen them, but to the listener, you should see these diagrams that we have that help you map out the 3-2 system. I mean, they're beautifully done by Lee Collins, who's our head of notation here at Pickup. And he has a great way of like laying things out on the fretboard, color coded system. And it's just a thing of beauty, really.
Yeah. The graphics are sick. Like right away you can see, and students that I've shown it to that are not, you know, that are even more beginner students, they're like, they intuitively get the pattern after doing it on the first two strings.
Yeah.
Then they're like, I understand. And then they go to the next set, and then they go to the next set, and they have it already.
And then you just kind of use your ear and you're ripping.
Yeah. For real.
Yeah.
For real. Yeah. It's pretty crazy. It's really cool. It's a great concept. And then I had a friend of mine who plays professionally, who's like a more advanced guitar player. He hit me up and he's like, oh, I was looking for some lessons to take. I'm really excited. I can't, you know, like I'm so stoked you have a course on pickup. I'm excited to take your thing. And I'm like, yeah, this course is more late beginner, like early intermediate. You may be able to get through this fast. And he's like, oh, I got through the first two lessons today, whatever. And I'm like, you know, you may find that if you're an advanced guitar player, you may find that the lessons
are a bit easy,
but the concept is still an incredibly powerful concept. And that he agreed with that. He was like, I am unfamiliar with this concept, and this is something that I, as an advanced guitar player, will use.
Yeah.
You know, you may find that the lessons themselves are on the easier side for you as far as the technicality of playing.
Yeah.
But the concept itself is totally applicable for players of any level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. 100%. All right. Well, let's see. One more from each of us, let's say.
Great.
Why don't you give us one more?
You know, Carl, I would love to. My last one is maintain your gear. And my first thing was, find someone with the best credit score that you have, take them with you to the Sam Ash, have them co-sign with you on a credit card, and buy the most expensive guitar that you can find. And my wife said, that is actually not a good tip. So I changed it to maintain your gear. And that doesn't mean change your stuff to be really expensive, buy fancy things, you know, upgrade your pickups, all this sort of thing. It just means that as you're getting to be an intermediate guitarist and we're thinking about how your playing sounds, you should, you know, change your strings. If you're playing on strings that are 2 years old and, you know, it's got like gunk everywhere and they don't stay in tune and whatever. If your pots are broken or your knobs are broken or your, you know, your tuning peg is falling off and your input jack is all messed up and it's like making crazy buzzing noises, all those sorts of things. If your guitar needs a setup, if the intonation is all crazy, like those sorts of things, because the obvious thought is, wow, that's awful for people to listen to because it's going to sound bad. But the long-term thing and the important thing for me as a teacher is you're going to find it a lot less inspiring to play when you hear it back to yourself and you're like, oh man, this is like not fun for me as a guitar player to listen to. And also it's just like harder to play. The easier your guitar is for you to play, the more you're going to want to play it and the better you're going to get. And I've seen that like time and time again, like when a student goes and gets a setup or like their guitar is easier to play, they're like, oh man, I can't put this thing down. I played all night because my guitar feels like so much better now. It's like, oh yeah, you spent $6 on a set of new strings that like you could have done that a year ago. Yeah. That would have been cool, you know? And they're like, oh yeah, I won't do that again, you know? So just stuff like that. It's simple and it's
totally,
it seems like a goofy one, but it is often overlooked. So
it kind of goes back to what you were, your first one, which is like sweat the little stuff, sweat the details.
Yeah, it kind of does. Like,
as an intermediate player, you kind of have to sweat the details a little more, and having your guitar set up properly and take care of it a little bit is, it's going to help you sound. Yeah, obviously it's going to help you sound better. So
yeah totally. Thanks. What's your last one?
My last one is less is more. And what I mean by that is kind of taking like an approach where, I don't know, I remember like when I was in college, you're being forced to like learn so much and it's like almost hard to retain half of what you're really trying to teach yourself. And if you're like me and you have a kid and a job and not much time to practice, just taking a less is more approach with your practice. So like setting more reasonable goals with yourself, like, okay, I really want to get better at hybrid picking maybe. And let's just try to incorporate that into everything else that you're doing, you know, like, it's like a long-term thing and you're like, okay, this year almost is like the year of hybrid picking. That might be one idea. Another thing that I've been doing is this like song of the month approach. And so instead of trying to be like, okay, I'm going to learn 10 songs this month. No, I'm going to learn one song this month. And then by the end of the year, I have 12 freaking songs that I know really well.
Yeah.
And I can just play, you know, and I'm talking about like singing songs, you know, like little songs, but.
Sure. And you're like great at them. You know,
yeah,
them,
but I'm like
you
really
know
good
them.
At them. Cause I, yeah. And also I do them over and over throughout the year, you know, it's like you're building on them and stuff. And so it's like, why try to learn 10 sort of kind of learn 10 songs a month and then forget all of them when you could learn 12 songs a year and have those for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
You know,
That's a great point.
So yeah, I don't know. I think that's kind of an intermediate thing. It might be a bit more on the advanced side. We'll say it's for a person with a full-time job and kids thing.
I think that's a great idea for an intermediate thing. I think it's for anyone that wants to legitimately like improve. Anyone that wants to be like serious, you know, like, do you want to sound good and be good?
Yeah.
Do you want to take it seriously or are we just like, having a little bit of fun,
yeah,
kind of thing, which is cool
too. Which is totally fine.
Which
is
great.
Totally fine too. Some people just like picking up the guitar and strumming a little bit and relieving some stress. And
yeah,
that's
like a kind of a classical approach, you know, like I'm going to study this song for months.
Yeah.
To perform it once. They do like one song for like 4 months. So.
Yeah.
but that's cool. That's a great one, man.
Yeah. Ah, you know. All right. Well, man, this has been just a joy chatting with you. And once again, man, like thanks for being here and
thanks for having me.
All really stoked for the 3-2 masterclass that's on pickup. So thanks a lot.
Thank you again for having me. Anytime. I'm happy to talk for 3 more hours. So
well, I'm sure we'll have you back soon. Yeah, we'll have you back soon. We've got plenty cool. more to chat about.
Great, man.
So thanks everybody for listening. And, we've got a monthly guitar giveaway that we're doing at Pickup. If you're not aware, we're giving away a guitar every month for the rest of this year, 2024.
What?
All you have to do is sign up, submit a performance piece of yourself and complete a grade within a pathway and you'll be submitted.
What are you giving away?
This month, it's a Les Paul.
What?
A $1,400 Les Paul.
No way.
Last month, it was a Strat with a humbucker in the bridge. I forget the exact model. And yeah, lots of cool stuff. So
dang. All right. I got to get a disguise.
I think you're, I don't know, as a pickup teacher, now that you're officially a pickup teacher, can you actually, are you disqualified? I'll have to check with Sam.
If I get like a Groucho Marx glasses with like a giant nose and mustache.
Yeah, I've thought about that.
I think
that,
if
actually.
I show up with another guitar, I think I'm going to be in significant trouble. So I'm probably good for a little bit.
Babe, it was free. I won it on Pickup Music.
Carl said.
Cool, man.
Awesome, dude.
And so thanks everybody for listening. If you dug this, you know, give us a like, give us a review, share it with a friend. We'd really appreciate it. All right. Peace.
Bye-bye.